Can women be pastors? Here's what the Bible actually says. Two camps of Bible-loving Christians read the same verses and land in different places. Let's open the text and one very rare Greek word and see for ourselves. This question splits good people who love the same Bible. Maybe you grew up in a church where only men preached. Maybe you grew up in one where a woman led you to Jesus from the front. Either way, you've probably wondered, what does the Bible actually say? Here's the honest part most hot takes skip. Sincere, scripture-soaked Christians land on different answers. Not because some love God less. Because the same verses can be read more than one way. So we're not going to settle it for you. We're going to hand you the text, slow down on a couple of words the English glosses over, and let you do what the Bereans did, receive the word eagerly, then examine the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. Grab your Bible. Open it next to this page. Let's go slow. The verse everyone reaches for first. Almost every conversation starts here. 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 to 12. Paul tells Timothy he doesn't permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. This is the load-bearing text for the whole debate. Read it in plain English, and it sounds airtight. But two of Paul's words carry way more freight than the translation lets on. Watch what happens when we zoom in. Greek, hesychia. Quietness, settledness, a peaceful disposition. English often prints silence, but the same word shows up elsewhere for living a calm, peaceable life, not necessarily zipped lips. That matters. Paul uses hesychia in other places for the posture of a quiet, settled life. 1 Timothy 2 verse 2. Paul wants believers to lead a peaceful and quiet life. Same word family, clearly meaning a settled disposition, not literal muteness. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 12. Paul tells the restless to work in quietness and earn their bread, again, settledness, not silence. So is quietness here a demand for total silence or a posture of teachable calm? The Greek leaves that door open. Now the second word, and this one is wild. Greek, authentian. To have authority over or to domineer slash usurp authority. This verb appears exactly once in the entire New Testament, and its meaning ranges from neutral, exercise authority, to negative, dominate. One occurrence. In the whole New Testament, Paul had a common, ordinary word for authority, exousia, and didn't use it here. He reached for this rare one instead. Does he mean ordinary godly authority or a grasping, domineering kind? Scholars have argued this for centuries, and your answer to that shapes your answer to the whole question. One verse. One rare word. Two faithful readings. This is why honest Christians disagree. The other set of verses, don't skip these. Proof texting is grabbing one verse and ignoring the rest. The Bereans didn't do that, so neither will we. Scripture also gives us this. Galatians 3 verse 28. In Christ there is neither male nor female, all one. How far does that oneness reach into church roles? That's the question. Romans 16 verses 1 to 2. Paul commends Phoebe, calling her a diakonos, servant slash deacon, of her church and entrusting her with his letter. Romans 16 verse 7. Paul greets Eunia, a woman, as noted among the apostles. How you read among matters a lot. Acts 18 verse 26. Priscilla, alongside her husband, takes the gifted preacher Apollos aside and explains the way of God more accurately. Acts 2 verses 17 to 18. At Pentecost, Peter quotes Joel, "In the last days both sons and daughters, and even female servants, will prophesy." Judges 4. Deborah judges and leads Israel, a prophetess to whom the people come for God's word. Notice something? In the same letter where Paul says women should keep silent in the churches, he had already assumed women praying and prophesying out loud in the gathering. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 34. Women should keep silent in the churches, but three chapters earlier, 11:5, Paul regulates women praying and prophesying aloud, which means absolute silence, can't be the whole story. Context is everything here. That tension is real, it's in the text, and any honest reading has to hold both passages, not just the one that fits the conclusion you walked in with. So, how do faithful Christians sort this out? Broadly, the Bible-believing world splits into two camps. Here's the steel man of each, the strongest, fairest version, not the strawman. Complementarian reading. They see the pastor/elder office, the role of authoritative teaching over the gathered church, as reserved by Scripture for qualified men. They lean on 1 Timothy 2 verse 12 read as a standing instruction, plus the elder qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 7 and Titus 1 verse 6, and they root it in creation order, not culture. Women minister powerfully in countless ways. This one office, they believe, is the exception God drew. Egalitarian reading. They see those instructions as aimed at specific local problems, false teaching swirling in Ephesus, disorder in Corinth, not a universal ban. They point to the wider witness. Galatians 3 verse 28, Eunia, Phoebe, Priscilla, Deborah, daughters prophesying. If God gifts and calls a woman to teach and lead, they ask, who closes a door he opened? Both camps quote chapter and verse. Both are trying to obey, not edit, the Bible. The disagreement isn't Bible versus culture, it's two careful readings of the same pages, weighing the same words, reaching for the same God. It can feel uncomfortable that mature believers disagree here. But that discomfort is actually an invitation. It means this is a place to study, not just to inherit an opinion secondhand. Your turn with the text. We're not going to tell you which camp is right. That's not our job, and honestly, it would rob you of something better, reading it yourself with your eyes open. So try this. Open 1 Timothy 2 and read verses 11 to 12 slowly, then read all of chapter 3. Then read Romans 16 and meet Phoebe and Eunia. Then Acts 18 and watch Priscilla teach. Ask, is Paul writing a timeless rule, a fix for a specific mess, or both? What does that one rare word authentian do to the sentence if it means domineer instead of lead? Sit in the tension. Pray over it. Then talk it through with people who know you and know the word. Examine for yourself. Read these passages in full for yourself, pray honestly, and bring your questions to your local church and pastors who can walk with you. This page hands you the tools. The conviction is yours to reach before God.